Welcome to the Dry Bones Ministries podcast, where we strive to provide great preaching and teaching so that listeners will discover or rediscover the goodness, truth, and beauty of our Catholic faith. If you are interested in supporting the work we are doing, visit us at drybonespgh.org or follow us on social media at drybonespgh. Thanks for joining us. We hope that you're inspired, uplifted, and encouraged. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Dry Bones Ministries special podcast series on 33 Days to Merciful Love. My name is Father Adam Potter and we're in the fourth week on to day 23. Let's pray and enter right in. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who have taught the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that in the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Day 23. The blindness to sin. Living the little way requires that we recognize our littleness. Problem is, many of us don't see it. As St. Therese put it, quote, we must be humbled and recognize our nothingness, and that is what so many are not willing to do, end quote. Now that surely is true. There are certainly many people who are unwilling to be humbled and recognize their nothingness. But today, I believe the bigger problem is that so many people simply don't see it. They sincerely don't realize that they're sinners. They're spiritually blind. Let me put it this way. I'm a priest. I hear confessions. And let's just say there are a lot of people out there who are extremely spiritually blind. They'd almost have you believe that they were immaculately conceived, like Mary. For instance, after years of not going to confession, people say things like, look, Father, I'm a good person. I don't have any sins. Now, there are two problems here. First, they're wrong. They do have sins, and lots of them. The Bible says that even the just man sins 7 times a day. Proverbs 24:16. Second, too, many people think it's enough simply to be a good person. Well, it's not enough. Jesus doesn't just want good people. He wants saints. He wants us to be on fire with his love. And anything less is not enough for him. For instance, the Lord's moving words from the Gospel of Luke come to mind. I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. Luke 12:49. Also, I can't help but think of his frightening words from the book of Revelation. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. 3:16. Okay. So blindness to one's sin is a big problem today. And why is it a problem? Let me put it this way. The good news isn't really news if we don't feel we're in need of it. I mean, why should we get excited about God's abundant mercy for sinners if we don't really think we're sinners? Why care about mercy if we don't feel we're in need of it? Why go to confession when we've not done anything wrong? Well, we have done something wrong. And again, not just one thing, but lots of things. I mean, we're all sinners. See Romans 3:23, 1 John 1:8-10. And we all desperately need God's mercy. Now, at this point, many of us may be enthusiastically agreeing. That's right, we're all sinners. In fact, we may even be congratulating ourselves. Oh, thank goodness, I'm not like those spiritually blind people. I clearly see my sins. But do we? Spiritual blindness extends even to those who recognize that they're sinners. Consider this. Jesus once told Saint Faustina, if I were to reveal to you the whole misery that you are, you would die of terror. Now I hesitate to bring up that quote because I don't want little souls to begin beating themselves up and falling into discouragement. However, there's a deeply important truth here. And if we don't get it, we'll have a hard time living the little way. Let me put it this way. Have you ever wondered why the great saints often spoke of themselves as being the biggest sinners? It doesn't seem to make any sense, right? So what do they see that we don't? For instance, apart from what we covered on day 7, why does Saint Therese, the greatest saint of modern times, see herself as being such a little soul? Well, if we can discover the secret to her littleness, then we'll discover the secret to her sanctity. Okay, so here's the secret. Therese realized that she could not compete with God. Let me explain. God wants us to love him as he loves us. In fact, Jesus even commands us to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, Matthew 5:48. And as I mentioned earlier, he wants us to be on fire with love. Now, Saint Therese knew all this, so she tried to perfectly fulfill the commandment of love. But she couldn't do it. She realized that she couldn't compete with God's love. As she herself put it, compared to God's love for her love for him is not even a drop of dew lost in the ocean. And the deeper she delved into the mystery of God's love for her, the more she realized she couldn't compete. She clearly understood that she couldn't love God as he loved her. She knew that, compared to God, she'd always be a weak, pitiful lover. So the light that illumines the darkness of our spiritual blindness to our sins is the fire of God's love. Think of it. God loves us so much more than we love him. From the cross, he cries out for love of us. I thirst. And we mumble our prayers. He pours out his life for us in his passion and death. And we complain about a headache. His loving gaze is fixed on us day and night, and we hardly look at him. He does everything to please us, and we're focused on pleasing ourselves. When we compare, then, the mystery of God's infinite, burning love for us with our own weak efforts to love him in return, it humbles us, lowers us, reduces us, and crushes us to the dust. But it doesn't destroy us. Yes, I know it may seem that God's love would destroy us. After all, we just heard that Jesus told Saint Faustina that she'd die of terror if he showed her all of her wretchedness. But here's some saving good news. In his loving mercy, God fills up the abyss of our wretchedness with his own divine love. This is Saint Therese's amazing insight after she was conquered by love. As she herself expressed it to the Lord, "For me to love you as you love me, I would have to borrow your own love." And she knew he'd give it. She knew that after God conquers us and humbles us with his love, he then saves us with love by giving us his own divine love. In other words, after he flattens us with his overwhelming love, God then lifts us up and fills us with his love so we actually can love him as he loves us. In the end, then, we can compete. We can be perfect. We can be set on fire. More on this tomorrow. Today's prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fire of mercy, open the eyes of my heart with your love, that I may see my need for your merciful love. Growing up playing sports, and especially basketball, taught me a lot about different aspects of life. And one aspect of basketball and getting better and preparing for different opponents was the film session. And this was a mostly dreaded experience. There was just something that my coaches were just particularly good at being able to cut the film of, you know, last night's game. And even if we won by 20 points, we could find every single fault and mistake and make it look like we lost by 10. And so anyway, I remember those as being particularly painful, dreaded, because, you know, depending on the mood of the coach or the film that he cut out and presented to us, could be really humbling. There, you can't hide, right? The film doesn't lie. And, you know, sometimes that was exonerating and justifying. But often, yeah, he wanted to be able to show you, here's where you didn't sprint back on defense, here's where you blew your assignment, or here's where you made the wrong read, and you just had to own it. At the same time, nothing allowed me to grow in my basketball career, that's generous. Like basketball playing, especially as a team, then being able to really look at that, and not only individually, but then also as a team, to be able to see in truth, where am I? Where are we? How are we doing? And how can we really get better? And when it comes from a place of, you know, genuine love and goodness of wanting to help us to improve, and when the goal of the team is to continue to improve and to compete for the section championship or the championship, then you're willing to endure it. And so, forgive the sports analogy, right? But can we see that as kind of an examination of conscience, like a willingness to shine the light of God's truth, of his love, into our own lives, and to be able to see us as we really are? There's a line that says, ignorance is bliss. And that is just not true. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is really dangerous. And ignorance might seem nice, but watch out. You could be going in the wrong direction, heading right for a cliff. And so to be able to know in truth, who am I? Where am I? Where am I going? How can I improve? What do I need to do? Is really the response of someone who is an agent in their own lives, is taking ownership and responsibility for their engagement in life. And especially whenever we talk about a relationship, thinking about something like dating or like marriage, where there would be this real, how are we doing? How are we doing in our relationship? How am I doing? And I want to know, not because I'm a glutton for punishment. I want to know because I love you, and I want our relationship to grow and to be strengthened. And so to be able to have time of transparent honesty can just go such a long way to really owning maybe some difficult realities of places where I am falling short. And that, whenever it's in the context of love and growing in the relationship, it's hard, but it's really sweet too. It's sweet just to be able to see the mercy of God through those opportunities to help us to grow and to get closer to our beloved. So I offer that just as some insights or analogies for the blindness to sin. And yeah, it's not bliss to be ignorant. And it might seem nice that I'm not really culpable, etc., etc. But if we actually care about our own responsibility, our own part in this life, and especially in our duty to grow in our relationship with God, then we should want to know. We should want to know, who am I? Where am I? And how am I failing? How can I grow? I remember whenever I was coming into the church as a convert, as a high school student, some of those investigations that I had through the catechism and other sources about grace and virtue and vice and sin and grave sin, mortal sin and needing confession, some of those were really dreaded investigations of, do I really want to know? do I really want to know everything that the church teaches and what she proposes for the best way to live and to be faithful to God? And in the end, God gave me such a gift of faith that I did want to know, and to be able to own, I'm failing here, and I didn't realize it, but I don't want to offend God. I want to grow. And so to be able to own it and go to confession, I can relate to Father Gately's emphasis. I think he does a nice job of just kind of proposing one of the main problems in our church today, that the good news is no news to those who don't know the bad news. That we don't know just how dreadful our, the third time I've used that word, how dreadful our situation is in relationship to God, in relationship to ourselves and others. Then we keep, coming to church kind of just like willy-nilly. This is a nice thing that makes me feel better about myself, or gives me encouragement or inspiration, blah, blah, blah. I don't come desperate. Like, I need God's grace and mercy. I need the sacrament. And without it, I will not survive. Yeah, some of the most difficult places that I've admitted being a priest and preaching the gospel are in the suburbs. It's like, it's in suburbia where people have access to everything they could ever possibly want, let alone need. And so to be able to present this gospel of, you're a sinner. If you die apart from God's grace, you will suffer eternal punishment, and you need to repent. You need to convert. And people are like, I don't really need anything. Like, I'm good. I've got my life in order. I've got a beautiful family. I'm happy. And Father, just like, you know, keep it positive. And so, yeah, I get that. And I just wonder, and again, not to like emphasize the fear, but to emphasize the truth of our wretchedness, but even more so the truth of God's goodness and his love. Like, this is why he came. He came for our hearts. He's been searching us out. Where are you? Where are you? And for us to have the freedom to say, Ecce, here I am. May it be done to me. Magnificat. I praise you. I thank you. This is the joy of life. This is the abundant life that can really, give us everything that we're truly made for. So, yeah, an encouragement to be able to not be afraid to make a good examine. There are some really good examinations of conscience, and sometimes, in all bluntness, you know, sometimes we go to confession and we're confessing in the same way that we did whenever we made our confirmation in eighth grade. like we're at an eighth grade level of confession. We can do better. We can really make an examination through, okay, how about like a thorough investigation of the Ten Commandments and really appreciating everything that means? How about making an examination through the seven deadly sins and to appreciate all of those nuances and the ways that I can give into those? How about an examination of conscience based on the Beatitudes? Not only what I've done, but what I failed to do. That's what the Beatitudes call us to, a real response. And all of the ways that the Beatitudes highlight. So anyway, maybe a tough film session. We're like, I don't know. I don't, like, what am I going to see? It's like courage with the light of God's love and his truth. It brings freedom, and it brings us to an even fuller embrace of just the confidence that Therese invites us to in the midst of our own tendency towards discouragement or struggle, to run with confidence to those arms of our merciful Father. Come, Holy Spirit, fire of mercy, open the eyes of my heart with your love, that I may see my need for your merciful love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Friends, just a word of gratitude that you're here and you're still going. And yeah, I'm just so grateful to be able to walk with you through these days and to be your guide, cheerleader, and whatever else I can do. I'm grateful for you, so keep going. Do not lose heart or grow slack in zeal. Let's keep pursuing the heart of God steadfastly and with full speed and with the trust, confidence, and abandonment that Therese inspires us to. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Peace. Thank you for joining us for this episode. To learn more about Dry Bones Ministries events and initiatives, and to support this podcast, go to drybonespgh.org. Thanks, and God bless you.